Glad that you're joining us this morning. If you are new to the spiritual campaign, here's what we're doing. We're jumping into a book called The Purpose-Driven Life, or What on Earth Am I Here For? Rick Warren wrote this years ago, and it continues to be an incredibly selling book, and the reason why is the content inside of it is fantastic. And I kind of gave reasons why we were going to be doing this conversation over the next 40 days, why 40 days, and some thoughts like that last week. And so if you were unable to catch last week's sermon, I want to encourage you to go back and watch it. We talk about the different types of gods that does not exist, that do not exist in our lives, and why we could get frustrated, hurt, wounded, or saddened by some gods. Well, it's probably because someone told you about that God. But during this 40 days, we want to jump in and find out who God really is. And in who God really is, why are you here? What were you created for? Were you an accident? Were you on purpose? Do you have a purpose? We're going to look to discover that huge life question, why is there life? Is there a meaning to life? Is there a purpose behind life? And we're going to get into all that together through the scriptures. And so the first thing I'm going to jump into, I'm going to give you fair warning now. I'm going to get started talking about oxygen, earth, moon, things like that, and you're going to have no idea why I'm talking about it. But just try to stick with me for a couple minutes. I'm not a science expert, but I do know this, that as a planet, we get light from the sun. You know that, I know that, nothing special about it. And you probably even remember this from 10th grade science all the way back, no matter how old or young that you are, that if our Earth was actually any closer to the sun, we would be too hot. The heat from the sun would actually evaporate the water and make a living condition here on the Earth impossible, depending on how close or how far. Now, speaking of how far, if you take the same Earth, move it back just a little bit, change where we are in this massive solar system out here by ourselves, floating in the middle of nowhere, not being held by anything, you move it back just a little bit, the same amount of heat that we need, not to burn up, but to keep our water and our oxygen and our atmosphere right where it needs to be, you move it back just a little bit, we now become too cold. And so there's those three kind of areas that our planet's in. It's too close is too hot, too far is too cold, right in the middle is just right. You can see why they call this the Goldilocks. We are currently in this Goldilocks zone where we are right where we need to be. And the reason we stay right where we need to be is because we have this beautiful moon that floats around us. By the way, you remember just a second ago when I said I'm going to start talking about something, you're going to have no idea why. Don't worry, stay with me. I have a purpose behind all this. So now we have this beautiful moon that floats around us, and this moon is not meant just so on Valentine's Day a couple days ago. You could take the loved one of your life out with some roses, maybe a bottle of Martinelli's or champagne, pop the cork, give a strawberry flower, and look at something beautiful in the sky. No, that moon is there for a purpose, and that purpose is to hold the earth right where it needs to be, that creates tides, that holds us into place, and it's this beautiful moon out there, and all of this earth that we're living in is heated just perfect because a moon that holds us in just the right access and creates a living environment for all things here on the earth. And again, too close, we burn up. Too far away, we can't live. But in this Goldilocks state, it's the perfect amount of oxygen at the sea level that we're at that gives the trees the ability to suck in what we breathe out, and then we breathe in what they disperse out. And so you have the trees that work with us, and the oxygen, and the birds, and all these different life environments and animals around the world. And here's how crazy this like created order, this created world gets. Ready for this? It is estimated that an acre of typical farm soil, 6 inches deep only, 1 acre, 6 inches deep, have several tons of living bacteria, tons of fungus, and 200 pounds of one-cell protozoan animals, about 100 pounds of yeast, and the same amount of algae. Now, that means nothing to you because it means nothing to me. But imagine in 1 acre of ground, 6 inches deep, you have thousands of living organisms in there. Now, the one you're probably familiar with is one called the earthworm. They've been called the ecosystem engineer. These earthworms, much like humans, they create. They dig these holes and create these structures. But the reason why this is important, some do it horizontally, some do it vertically, but all of them do something, two things. One, as they go, they do droppings. Yes, you just heard that correctly. But then the other things they do is they allow passages or porages to which oxygen, water, and carbon dioxide can actually enter into the soil. And so I've said a lot of this details to say this. When we look at the earth, it has a purpose. When we look at the moon, it's not something beautiful. It has a purpose. When we look at the trees, they have a purpose. If we look at the earthworm, algae, and fungus in the soil 6 inches below our feet, they all were created for a purpose. They have a reason to be here. A scientist can step from the outside and look at them and say, here's the function that they play. And you probably even recently in this area, when it comes to the honeybee shortage, the bees, the pollination that they do, it's important. It's why we never want to see an animal absolutely be wiped off the face of the planet. They're here for a purpose. They're here for a reason. So if I can point to an earthworm digging through the earth, putting droppings behind, creating little areas in which oxygen, water, carbon dioxide, things like that can get into, I would have to ask you this question. And I say all that for this big question right here, right now for you. If we can identify the purpose of all these other objects, don't you think it's important for you to identify your purpose in life? Or do you have a belief system of, I'm an accident? Because as we start looking and we start specifically getting in this discussion, we have two options here. Number one, there is a maker. There is a maker, and if there is a maker, I need to ask him why I was made. So that's option number two. And then if you fall into the category of, well, there isn't a maker, I don't know if I believe in God, which, by the way, if that's you right now, but you're still listening, you're still on this journey with us, I am so glad that you are. You're welcome to enter into this dialogue. But if you don't believe that there's a maker, then you are a random accident, so logically, you have no purpose. If everything's an accident. So I would say this, starting this discussion on the 40-day spiritual campaign that we're on, the purpose-driven life, to discover out what you are. And by the way, in a little bit, I'm even going to use the word what your calling is, not your job, your calling. But as we get into the discussion, I guess we need to start from the same starting point. And that is this, I do believe that there is a God in heaven that spoke into life, spoke into earth, or spoke into time, and created all of heaven and earth. Now, if you're out there and you kind of fall more into the evolution standpoint, where just over millions of years things evolved, I will give you this. I do believe in evolution. I believe that when you look at certain species and certain things over time, you can see in their species a macro, if you would, evolution that's occurred in the world around us. But when it comes to the Big Bang, I can't go with you on that. Because, well, I believe that there was a big bang couple thousand years ago when God said, let there be light, bang, it all happened. But to believe that millions, if not billions of years ago, something came out of nothing. Here's the way I could say it. I don't have enough faith for that. If you believe in evolution, if you are an atheist, I would actually have to say you have more faith than I do. Why? Because it makes better logical sense to me that an intelligent designer designed this intelligent place that we live in, this place that's in the perfect Goldilocks that even the earthworm has a reason for. And so my faith actually finds it easier to believe that there's a God who spoke things into being, and this perfect created place is still in the order that he said it. It's just up to us to discover it, which is what scientists are doing all the time. But the question is, how often are you doing that to your psyche? How often are you doing that to yourself in order to find out who you are and why you're created? And in my mind, there's no debate. So I need to find out, why am I created? Colossians 1:15 says this: "We look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything he created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and beyond, or below, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of everything. Everything got started in him and finds purpose in him." And so that's Colossians 1:15, and the Bible even goes on to say this, that we were created, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So you weren't an accident. I don't think you evolved over millions of years. I believe that God spoke before the earth was created, before time was even in place. God said that he wanted a man and a woman. He wanted you, he wanted me to even be living in this specific time. Now, there's this book called 10 Prayers God Always Answers. And I would like to read you a section out of it. If you're here today and you think you were an oops baby, if you think you have no purpose in life, if you're even watching this right now going, okay, I'm going to find out who the real me is. No. I can't do that for you today. But here's what I can do. I can help you take that next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and create a book, a platform, an environment to help you discover that for yourself and maybe even ask you a few questions. But if you're here today and you believe that God created you for a purpose, give me 3 minutes to maybe cover if someone's watching today and they do not feel like they were created for a purpose. And it comes from the book, 10 Prayers God Always Answered by Anthony DeStefano. He said, half a billion potential human beings, each one completely different than you, could have been born in your place, and you had that one unique sperm cell fertilize that one unique ovary. In a very real sense, half a billion other potential human beings had to forego life to make a way for you. So if you've ever been called the oops baby, if you don't think you have a purpose, if you think you're an accident, if you think you're broken, if you believe that narrative and that lie that goes through your head, you're already millions ahead just by being born. And then you have to come to this stunning conclusion. From strictly a statistical point of view, your presence on this planet is a miracle. At the very dawn of your life, you had to overcome overwhelming odds higher than you ever thought you'd face in any other situation. No matter what you may think of yourself now, no matter what ill befalls you in life, no matter what suffering may be forced to endure, no matter what family or money problems you may eventually have, you have to face. It is imperative that you understand this. Ready for this? You came into this world a champion. I just love that thought. Something for you to consider, something for you to think of. If you think that I'm a loser, I'm defective, I have no reason to live, you just breathing today proves that you are already a champion. So statistically speaking, you are a freak accident. We're not going to go down that road because I feel like we covered that already. But God intended David Amston. God intended fill in the blank with your name to be here on earth at this season so that you can have a calling, that you can have a purpose. Romans 8:30 goes on to say this: those that God predestined, he has also called, and those he called, he justified, and those who he justified, he has glorified. Wow. You feel like you need to take a big, deep breath after that one, don't you? Oh, those are a lot of big theological words. So let's do this. We're not going to cover them all today. I know we're going to touch on them a lot over the next 5 weeks as we continue this conversation on purpose-driven life. But here's what I want to say, that God, you need to be focused on, as we begin to discover your purpose, the word called here, the word that God has called you. This word called is a Greek word by the name kaleo. So let's just do a quick pause right here, everyone. I'm very much aware I'm in a teacher mode right now. And the reason why is normally if you're sitting here live, we can almost have an ongoing discussion. I can hear what you're saying. You can hear what I'm saying. But with us being strictly online today, the only thing I can do, I want to give you this incredible solid information in order for you to get on this journey of our 40-day purpose-driven life. So if you, let's do this in order to make sure you're still with me. If you have ever heard of the word Greek word kaleo before, feel free to give a thumbs up, an amen, something like that. We'll make sure to get our online amens going a little different than we normally do here. So the Greek word kaleo, it's almost like call, but the word kaleo means God is calling you. So you're not just called, but God is actually calling you. He's beckoning you. He's drawing you in for something more. It's used hundreds of times in the New Testament, and it talks about your assignment in life, your purpose in life, and your mission in life. The reason God created you is because God was calling you to something. And if, by the way, you know this if you're in it, because you get up and your job isn't a performance every single day. You don't dread having to go to the office. For me, being a parent, like, I'm excited to be with my kids. My wife the other day, we had a little bit of time away together. And she said, you know, I thought I was ready for a break from the kids, but just being away from them for an hour, man, I'm ready to be home with the kids already. Because parents, ready? Sometimes you need a break, and it's not bad to say that. But what I loved hearing from my wife is that she was ready to be back with her kids after a short amount of time. Why? One of her callings in life is to be an incredible mother. And so there's a difference between doing something and being called to something. In this purpose-driven life, this 40 days that we're on, we want to look at your purpose by actually looking at the word calling. Because throughout the Bible, there's so many times that we look at purpose one way, calling another. But I would have to say this, when it comes to your calling, we're not talking about the Latin word you may have heard before, vocation. Okay, your vocation can be a job, but your calling is something that you're called to. Your vocation is something that can bring you a paycheck in order for you to pay the mortgage, pay the electric, get some food on your table. But just because you have a vocation, something that you go and do every day, doesn't mean that you're in the calling that God created you. And by the way, if you're a teacher out there right now and you love 5 days a week going to a building and teaching kids, I would say there's a chance you have found your vocation and your calling. Because the thought that I would have to go to the same building every single day on the same subject, repeating the same thing with kids that aren't mine, and you can only discipline to a certain level, no thank you. I will pass every single time. If you're a plumber, if you're an air conditioner, a repairman, if you work on cars, but every day you find that you are helping someone in need, and there's times, maybe it's an older person, maybe it's a widow, and you're able to change their oil and not charge them anything, and there's something alive that comes inside of you, I would say you found your vocation and your calling. The best example I could probably give of this is at the church here, we have a set of directors by the name of Gerald and Sherry Simonic, and they're over our pastoral care. Now, I've known them for many years in my life, and if you knew them years ago, you knew that Sherry was worked as a nurse at a public school, and Gerald was a pharmacist. So the way I always like to say it was, he was able to deal the drugs, she was able to push the drugs. I don't think they like that joke, but since no one's here to tell me no, I'll go ahead and say it anyway. And so you have these two individuals, and you can see in their vocation, it actually mirrored what their calling was. Because Gerald, as a pharmacist with the mind to understand all this, he was able to give medicine to people in order for them to be better. Sherry, being around these young people all the time in order for them to be better, when it came to finding directors here at the church to take over our pastoral care, we tapped into their calling. And it's the best pastoral care at Navigation Church that we've ever had, and it's because not only do we have qualified people, but it is because we have people that made themselves qualified because of their calling. And so their job or their vocation reflected what was God calling them to. But now even in their, quote, retirement years, which I think they're working more now than ever, you can see that their full calling is coming alive because they were always meant to help people. And so I just want to say to you, if you wake up every single day and you just say, well, I hate the job that I go to, and I don't enjoy the life that I have, and I'm miserable with the decisions that I made, then I would say this, you are probably falling into the category of vocation. But I believe over the next 40 days, we're going to be able to help you find your calling. What is the thing that God made you for? I'm just gonna go into full preacher mode here right now. You're not an accident. A blender is a blender to blend things. An axe is an axe to chop things. You are a person meant to do something. And there's a specific thing that's natural into your wheelhouse. And guess what? Even as being a pastor, there's parts of this job I don't like. These past 2 weeks, we've been fighting the building and getting maintenance and trying to put space heaters in place. I don't want to do maintenance at a building, but it's a part of my job that I just have to do. But when it comes to me being able to do the fullness of my calling, and when you get a phone call and someone's hurting and someone else needs an encouragement, or I bump into someone at a store and I'm able to give a thought out to them and you can see life come inside of them, man, that pastor's heart inside of me explodes. So you don't have to love every part of your job, but if your job doesn't get any love back to you, if you find no purpose in it, then I will tell you now, you're going to live a miserable life because you're a blender trying to do an axe job. A blender's never going to cut down the tree, but I bet we could hit the tree long enough to destroy the blender. And so if you're here, I just want you to know this. You were created for a purpose. You weren't on accident. And we need to find this thing. And you might have tried to find it in the past, and you become increasingly frustrated. There was a book called The Meaning of Life that Hugh Moorhead put out years ago, where he wrote letters to scholars and poets and philosophers. What is the meaning of life? That was the question that was just kind of asked. And Carl Jung, famed psychiatrist, wrote back, "Really? I don't know what the meaning or purpose of life is, but it looks exactly as if something were meant by it." And you probably heard Carl Jung before. He's saying, I have no idea what the meaning is, but wow, it really looks like it's set up to have a meaning. And then you have a novelist, Joseph Heller, wrote back, "I have no answers for the meaning of life." You gotta love that. That's so encouraging. Someone who's well-known and creative and an artist. "I have no meanings to the meaning of life, no answers to the meaning of life, and no longer want to search for any." Because if we keep searching in the wrong place, frustration is inevitable. And here's a last one for some of you younger people that I'll help you out here. Right? The famed well-known actor, ready? Jim Carrey. "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they dreamed of so they can see that that is not the answer." So you have Jim Carrey, famed actor, well-known through TV and the arts world. I would assume has most of the money that he needs in life to do what he wants in life. And what he's found out is he did not find the meaning of life. So how do we find the meaning of life? We have a couple different approaches. The first one is you do a mystical approach. We just need to look deep inside of ourselves because the answer is inside of me. And I'd like to say this to you. If you didn't create you, how do you know how you were made? And again, I'm just going to use straight logic there. If we've already decided that you're not an accident, and that you were created, that God formed and fashioned you in your mother's womb, if he had an intentional reason to make you, then how can you go into you to find out why you exist? I don't think it's possible. I don't think you can take a higher creation down to a lower form of intelligence and say, tell me the meaning of life. And so, but there is the mystical approach. So there's the self-help approach. Make your own purpose. What makes you feel good? And in doing that, that is your purpose. See, I think there's a blending of what we just talked about and the self-help approach. Because there should be a natural response in you when you're running at the rhythm that you were created for. But at the same time, if you just say what makes me feel good is what my purpose is, my concern is, what if you're just lazy? My purpose is to lay around and do nothing and not be productive in humanity or society around me. And I'm going to be nothing but a consumer. That's what makes me feel good. See, the danger is with the self-help approach is, what if you get on the wrong road? And your self-help is always, is only about helping yourself. Where I believe God has created us to help more than that. Then there's just the psychological or philosophical approach. When we start looking around, and it's truly about speculating, talking, philosophizing. I think that's a word. If not, it should be. It sounds really, really good. Where we're always talking about purpose, but you're never getting into it. Where you're speculating of what other people have said or what's new. Problem is, there's always new things occurring in the earth when it comes to the depravity of man. And are we really wanting to go down some of those roads when it comes to purpose? So if you tried to find purpose before, there's a couple approaches that you may have taken. Or, like what we saw Joseph Heller, the novelist, say, I'm done even searching. So if you're here and you're going, okay, I understand this purpose, I need to find my calling, I'm meant for something more, then you know what? I don't even want to try to find it. It seems like too big of a to-do list. Then I'll tell you this. You have one of four options here. One, you can just be a survivalist. Your main purpose in life is to stay alive as long as you can. I do have a big question for you. What happens when you don't stay alive? But you could just be a survivalist. You're just going to do what you can, stay alive. You could be a hedonist. In the hedonistic worldview, it's all about just having fun. Now, not defined by someone else, but by you. So to me, that could be a very destructive road to get on when you are your self-definer of what fun is all about. Then there's the materialist. It's all about acquiring goods, because somehow the more that I get, the happier I'll be. The more that I consume, the more satisfied my soul will feel. But we can read from famous, rich and wealthy from days gone by that they said they had the whole world and, well, they lost their soul. So there's the materialist. Then there's just the naturalist. The purpose of living is for biological reasons. It's to reproduce. It's not to do damage on the earth. It's to leave it better than what I found it. And here's the thing. In every one of these, you and I could start picking apart and finding out truth. Like for me, I believe that one of my callings in life was to have biological children and to reproduce in order to train them up in the way that they should go. So I'm not saying all the naturalists is wrong, but to say that's the full extent of my life philosophy, I think it would be a dangerous place to go. When it comes to materialists, it is nice to have stuff, but not just to consume it, but to also bless other people. You know, there's great hospitals out there that have collected a whole lot of things over time, and they have saved a whole lot of lives over time. And so don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but if you want to find your purpose in life, there's a couple ways that you can go about doing it. If you don't care about your purpose in life, there's a couple places that you're going to default to as far as your life philosophy. But I want to say over the next 6 weeks, we are just going to be covering what it looks to find your purpose in God. Okay, now everyone do me a favor. If you're home right now, reach your hands out, pull your phone up, grab your keyboard. I want you to type this in. I'm ready to go. I'm excited. Whatever, it's something like that you want to say, and I'm having you do this for a couple reasons. I already told you, I'm in full teacher mode. I know I'm not telling a lot of personal stories. If I've told a joke, I don't remember it even being funny. I'm in full teacher mode because I just want to get us all in the same starting point when it comes to this purpose-driven life. So make sure to say, I'm ready. Let's get started. Get to it, Pastor. Whatever you need to. Just type something in there right now, knowing that you're awake. And then here's what we're going to do. We're just going to cover a couple things that I want you to know about your purpose before we get started with our reading this week. Now, if you have our app, you can download these notes, and some of these notes will be in it. Some people have actually ordered the study guide that comes along with the purpose-driven life, or what on earth am I here for? And this is a fill-in-the-blank portion. But if you're just listening right now, let me just run through these quickly in the last couple minutes that we have together in order to encourage you. Number one, when it comes to your purpose, you need to know this. It's a call. Your calling, your purpose, is a gift from God. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't do anything to work for it. It is a present that God has given you. And when he created you, he called you. And when he called you, it's because he created you with a specific purpose in mind. And it's the thing that only you are going to be able to do. Do you know that if God wanted your job done by anybody else, he would have just created a different one of you? As a father, I've been finding out comparison is the killer of my children's destiny. I don't compare them to each other. I don't compare them to their friends. I always come back to the same question. What's the best for you? What were you created for? How should you do this to be the most successful in your life? God created you for a purpose, and it's a gift. And actually, 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. God's called you to this, and is an absolute gift from God, which leads right into number two. I'm called for God's purpose. I'm not called for my plan. You're not called for your plan. We are called for God's plan. God did not make you for you. God made you for God. I can't wait to talk about this. I'm pretty sure it's next week in greater detail. That we are created to glorify God. And until we get this correct, and so as soon as we get off the throne of our own life as the center of our own worship, you'll be a lot better off. That we were created for God's purpose, and my life is not mine. My girlfriend is not my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my husband, my wife, my boss, my parents. I don't live for them. I live for God. And Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Think about that word. You are his workmanship. Sometimes on Facebook, I get lost on those videos that scroll through and someone grabs an old piece of equipment or someone cuts a chunk of wood off of a side of a tree and they just say, can't believe they created this thing. And I always want to fast forward, but I watch them sketch it. And then I watch them take off chunks of wood. This last one that I watched way too long, a downed tree, a guy made a full-size grizzly bear with a chainsaw and chisels. And when I think about God's workmanship, I'm his poetry. I'm his creation. I'm not junk that he's trying to figure out what to do with, but he on purpose molded me and fashioned me for a purpose. You are God's workmanship. Never think of yourself less than that. The third thing, God chose my calling before I was born. Okay, newsflash, ready for this? Here, put a little ticker tape down there. Newsflash. You weren't born. Then God looked around and said, hey, Jesus, Holy Spirit, come here. Who's that? I don't know. Well, they're on earth now. We have to figure out something for them. Never happened. Galatians 1:15. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. He's saying this specifically to Jeremiah. What does these scriptures tell us? You're not an accident. God's not trying to figure out what to do with you. Before you were even in your mother's womb, he formed and fashioned you for a purpose to do something here on the earth, which means you are deeply loved by God. You are deeply cared for by God. God planned your life before you were ever born. The fourth thing I want to tell you about is my sins and my mistakes, they're not going to change my calling. You know, last week, if you weren't with us, it would be a great week to go back and re-listen to. And one of the gods that we talked about that does not exist is the guilt god, the one who holds it over you. I think this week we can introduce a new god, the vengeful god. The God that just waits for you to mess up in order for him to pull the boards out from underneath your feet to let you come crashing down. The vengeful God that remembers that there was a day that you acted like this, so he gets to punish you over here like this. The vengeful God that cannot wait to show you the exciting thing you have the potential of becoming, and then just because of one mistake, one unplanned pregnancy, one STD, one thievery, one miscommunication, just because of one thing in your life, he can jerk it away from you in order to be just that vengeful God to you. You need to know this. No matter how much you mess up, God can use you. And if you don't believe me, go to the New Testament. Read about a guy named Paul. He used to be named Saul. He was a terrorist. Okay? I'm going to go ahead and guess that every person watching me right now in our online campus, none of you have been a full-time terrorist where you got legal documents from a fake government that really wasn't over this spiritual community to actually go out and murder Christians. I'm just going to make that assumption. I could be dead wrong. If you're out there, go ahead and type it in the comments. I'd like to meet you so I could stay away from you. But I would love to find out. You can't be any worse than that. Saul was a terrorist against God, against Jesus, against the movement that was happening in this early church, literally trying to kill people off because of it. And God used him. And so in 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 13, it says, by calling me into his service, Jesus has judged me trustworthy, even though I used to be a blasphemer and a persecutor and contemptuous. Mercy, however, has shown me, because while I lacked faith and acted in ignorance, mercy was there. You are going to fail. You are going to mess up. You are going to have mistakes. But that doesn't mean that God throws you away. The fact is, God doesn't waste what happens, not even a sin. And there's a chance part of your calling can come out from the pain of your past. And so don't think just because you've done something so hedonistic, so fatalistic in your life, that God can't use that. You were created for a purpose, and his purpose is greater than your sins. Final one is, my calling is connected to other people. You cannot fulfill your calling by yourself. Callings happen in community. Romans 14:7 says this, none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. We are meant to be together. I've said this 1,001 times, and I'm sure you've heard it if you've been around here for any given length. Christianity is a team sport. It's not a solo activity. We are meant to do this together. You're going to find your purpose in community, but then also you'll be able to use your purpose in community. Now, when I say community, let's broaden that just a little bit. I don't mean just coming here to a building where all like-minded Christians are and serving in a specific area. That is fantastic, and that is true. But community can also be some of our NAV groups that meet in homes, where you're coming together to do the work of what we're talking about here. Community could be a world outside of us, a boys club, a girls club, a library reading program. There's a lot of different examples that I could give of what community is. But could you imagine God creating you uniquely? God creating you in a way that he will not and has not created anybody else, giving you a specific dream, passion, desire, future, destiny, calling that he's beckoning you towards, and then just not use it? Just hide it away? Just put it off for another day? Or is there a chance that in this unique calling that God has given you and you alone, he needs to put you in a place, or can I say this, in a community in order to best show that off and utilize it? Why? Because your life's not about you. Our life is about God. And so today, as we finish up, I want to say amen, I want to say the end, and I want to say a close. But probably the best way to say it is, welcome to the beginning. All the information today is to tell you this: if the moon has a purpose, you have a purpose. If the sun has a purpose, you have a purpose. If an earthworm has a purpose, you have a purpose. And you can try to find your purpose through different type of philosophies that are out there, looking within, trying to define it yourself. Or you can default to just ways of living that where you feel good because you consume more. You do what you want. You could just be a naturalist and try to live and let live. But I would say this, God created you for a reason, on purpose. So now, on purpose, you need to find your reason. And so welcome to the beginning of our 40-day purpose-driven life, or what on earth am I here for? So here's what your next step is. Today, open up your book, day number one, and do your reading. I'm going to encourage you, this is, if you could do me a favor, just if you're watching online right now, say, I'm listening. Just type in, I'm listening, because here's a couple big things. I've talked a lot, and I know when it's just online, sometimes it's hard to kind of have this interaction we're so used to, but I love for you to hear this. The first thing I'm going to do is encourage you to do this. Read every single day. This is not a to-do list to make sure you have read before we talk again next Sunday. This is an actual equipping of your private disciplines in order to have a thought for the day, to read a scripture, to make some notes for yourself, to take a 40-day journey towards a spiritual change. And so I want to encourage you to read every single day. Pick a time, put it in your calendar now, and when the alarm goes off, cancel everything else to do your job and to get in there to find your purpose. The second thing I'm going to tell you about is our NAV groups are back open. I think we have more this semester than maybe any other time in Navigation Church history. There's a NAV group out there for you. And right now you're thinking, well, I'm busy and this isn't something I do and I don't know who's hosting it. And you can overcome all those things by simply contacting the church office. You can right now on this message board, just type in there. You can even say, Pastor Brent, I need help finding this. And we will track that comment down and help connect you with a NAV group. I promise, I hope you hear this from the bottom of my heart, the best way for you to fully engage in this 40-day purpose-driven life, what on earth am I here for, is to connect it in this small group, because there's one thing about reading this information, there's another thing about hearing this information, but there's a whole new level when you discuss it. I want to encourage you to find a NAV group. And then the final thing that I want to tell you today is, let's enjoy this. You may have done something like this before. This may be a book that you've read in the past. Maybe you're hesitant or leery, but I promise this can be a lot of fun. So let's not just leave this as you reading by yourself. Throughout the week, if there's something that you read, something that you encourages you, something that you hear that adds to it, jump online, make sure to post it, tag Navigation Church, tag myself, Pastor Aaron, Pastor Brent, and let's just continue this on this dialogue for the next 40 days, not just here, but in the world around us. So in just a moment, I'm just going to let a few announcements end our conversation today, but I would love to pray with you to finish my time with you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. You're an amazing God. Lord, for you to come down and inspire this book to be written in order to find out and answer three of life's biggest questions, thank you for doing that, God. As those that have been here, again, not a Sunday we were planning on, especially with the kicking off of our spiritual campaign, but God, I believe that this is exactly where we need to be on this day in order to begin this journey. For those that are hurting, for those that are in need, God, we ask a blessing upon their life right now. For those that are maybe watching us for the first time, we welcome you. But Lord, can you just let them feel your presence and your peace? And as we go through this, those of us who believe we found our purpose, God, let us see it in a whole new way. For those that are searching for their purpose, God, help them discover it. Even those that have feeling like they should give up on this journey that they've tried so many different ways, God, let them be inspired to try one more time. And Holy Spirit, show yourself faithful. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.